Imagine having all of your company's knowledge at your employees' fingertips, reducing mistakes and boosting productivity. That's the vision of Greg DeVore, CEO of ScreenSteps. In this episode of Software Spotlight, Greg shares their innovative software and how it empowers businesses to transfer knowledge faster, streamlining operations and giving teams the tools to excel. Get ready to revolutionize how your company captures and shares the operational knowledge that drives your business. I'm Michael Bernzweig of Software Oasis, and with that, I'd like to welcome you to the Software Spotlight.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you with us, and I know our community is always engaged and happy to hear about new solutions in the SMB and SaaS space, and it seems like you've pulled together quite an exciting solution there. So I was hoping you could give us a little bit of a peek behind the curtain and, you know, help us understand ScreenSteps and the problem it tries to solve and how you came up with the solution.
Well, really, the problem we're trying to solve is how do you get an employee that needs to do a task in your business? You know, there's a lot of operational knowledge in a business. There's how do we process invoices? How do we do returns? How do we issue refunds? How do we set up a new account? How do we troubleshoot things? All this operational knowledge in a business. How do we get an employee to a point where they feel I can do this on my own as quickly as possible? So it's offloading that burden on those subject matter experts, the founders, the people who have all that knowledge in their head. How do we get it out of their head and in a place, in a format that that newer or less experienced employee can do it on their own and not have to rely on a supervisor?
That's huge. And, you know, I can tell you from having running a few companies over the years that, you know, obviously a big component is, you know, having trust and hiring the right people. But clearly being able to transfer knowledge is huge. And at a level, it really lets companies, you know, grow beyond just a small core team. And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, a company may have, you know, thousands of transactions, you know, happening in a day or a moment or a week. And knowing that everyone is on the same page is so important to delivering the right level of customer experience, and knowing the customers are getting the same exact answer, you know, from everyone is key. So how do you go about doing that? What is the framework that you use?
Well, we realized, you know, we've been doing this for a long time, and we realized that it's not just a technology problem. We want, you know, especially in software, we want everything just to be a technology problem. We buy a piece of software, we turn it on, and it solves an issue for us. But as we work with customers, so originally we built knowledge-based software. ScreenSteps was a knowledge-based platform. But as we were working with customers, we saw some of them would adopt this and it would totally transform their business. And some would adopt it and put a lot of work into it and nothing changed. So what's the difference? We want everybody to be successful, right? And as we looked at it, this was much more about how they designed the knowledge base, how they did the analysis up front, and how they trained their people to use that, things that were outside of our software, than it was about the specific technology in the software itself. A lot of organizations, especially with AI now, are thinking, okay, well, I'm going to buy a knowledge-based software, or I'm going to buy an AI tool, and I can just dump a bunch of stuff in there, and it's going to now solve all my problems. And you get on the other side of that, you see, oh, we've got a lot of documentation, or we've got a lot of information, but our employees don't know how to use it and they're not using it effectively. So we're still just asking supervisors for assistance.
Right. So it's both internal and external knowledge transfer that's key. So what do you see as some of the biggest challenges companies face nowadays when it comes to transferring knowledge to employees?
The two biggest challenges they have are identifying the right knowledge to transfer and then transferring it in a way that that employee can use it without the need, the assistance of a supervisor or a subject matter expert.
So it's really teaching a person to fish and you know, having the correct knowledge that you're transferring.
Well, so what we do is we have a framework that we teach. So there's a framework that we teach, and then there's the software GreenSteps is the software that has all the tools to implement that. A key part of that framework, the framework's called Find and Follow. And a key part of that is identifying what exactly does an employee need to do. A lot of customers come to us and they say, okay, we know everything they need to know, but they haven't done an analysis of what the employee needs to be able to do independently. And that's very different than just capturing what they need to know. And when we do that analysis with them, we find that only 25 to 50% of the tasks that employee needs to be able to do or the problems they need to solve is documented. All the rest is stuck in people's heads. So now that new employee is really being set up, they're not set up for success because they're going to have to keep going to that subject matter expert for that extra, you know, 50 to 75% of knowledge they need to do their job. So that first step of doing what we call a find and follow workshop, we help them identify in a very detailed way, here's everything that employee needs to be able to do, the questions they need to be able to answer, and the problems they need to be able to solve. That gives us the clarity of, hey, when we've got digital guides that support them all this, then we're going to be able to really empower this employee to be independent and successful.
Now, I know a lot of people would say, you know, at the point where you write something down, it's already outdated. How do you combat that in terms of, you know, are there some processes that need to be written down and others that, you know, employees just need to understand what the framework is for solving problems? Or how do you differentiate between the two?
Well, really, one of the keys you've identified is if you don't have a knowledge management strategy that plans for change, it's going to fail. And one of the key things that we specialize in businesses that are dealing with high complexity and high change. And we've built all our tools with iteration in mind. So if it takes you 5 days to build out a procedure, that's not realistic. If it takes you even, you know, 24 hours to update a procedure, that's not realistic if people are going to rely on that. So our tools are designed, our customers, they're making changes on a daily basis as new situations come up. What they've done is they've shifted their way from working from being what we call a knowledge spender to a knowledge investor. So knowledge spender is, you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it for you. You ask me another question, I'm going to answer it for you. But I'm just spending. I don't get a return on that investment. Knowledge investor, you could ask me a question, I'm going to send you a digital guide or I'm going to create it right in that moment for you so that the next time that question comes in, it's already answered. And when you do that, you free up all sorts of time in the business. Now that's going to change. Like things will change all the time. But instead of explaining that change, you're going to adjust the digital guide. And now you've got perfect clarity about what should happen.
So how do you make the information readily accessible to an employee so it's not something that they want to, you know, well, A, so it's really easy for them to find, but it's not something they want to resist as well, something in a format that's comfortable.
Yeah, well, there's a huge hurdle to get over here because of people's experiences with, you know, the bad experiences they've had in the past.
Sure.
You know, they're handed a 50-page PDF document that is, just a word salad of explanation. That doesn't match what the employee needs in the moment. So they're left to hunt through these things, and there's less friction in just reaching out to someone on Slack or Teams or calling them up. So the first thing is, once again, going back to that workshop, if we've identified the questions that the employee's having and we match the digital guides to those questions, we're so much closer to having something that they want and will use. So a big part we do is we say, hey, put the question that the employee's asking in their mind in the title of that digital guide. So they know exactly when they're finding what they need. Then design this, not this digital guide that's meant as a training tool, but one that is a performance enabler. And that means much less text, images so they can scan it quickly, decision trees we build in there so they don't have to read long if-then statements. They can just answer a question like, is this a VIP customer or not? Well, if it is, then you're going to do this. And if it's not, you're going to do this. And they just have to it's almost like it's talking them through the process. So it's matching the level of information they need in the moment.
Got it. Now that makes a lot of sense. And is there at this point any kind of an AI component to the solution, or is it strictly, you know, information that's kind of in a space?
Yeah, there's AI kind of on two sides, and some of this is still in development, and some of it is, you know, our customers are using. On one side, it's how do we create that single source of truth that is captured in a way that people can use it? And the second is, how do we make sure we surface the right information to give people the answers they need when they need it? And a lot of AI tools are focused on this second thing of, hey, well, let's just add AI to all our documentation. And what companies are finding is they don't have that single source of truth to feed the AI, and then it makes up things or it gives wrong answers. So that first part is getting that single source of truth. And so we're using AI. We'll bring in people's existing documentation, and we'll use AI to analyze it to help separate it out and make it much more actionable. So we'll take these long documents, and the AI will analyze it and turn it into a very clear outline that somebody could. We call it building recipes instead of encyclopedias. When people are trying to work in your operations, in your business, they need recipes. They don't need encyclopedias there. And so we use AI to transform that. On the other side, we're using AI that we're enhancing the search, but also the ability to then pull out answers from the existing documentation. Like you may have a policy on something and the answer to the question is buried in there. Well, we can put that question in and use AI then to pull out the specific answer that the employee needs.
Makes a lot of sense. Now, can you give for our listeners, maybe a real world example of a SMB that may have, not had a solution previously and then started using screen steps, and what life looked like before and after?
Let me share kind of two stories.
Sure.
And it's kind of at two different stages of it. So had one business where, you know, it was the CTO that came to us and they said, I can't get any work done. Like I spend all day answering questions, people. And so I can't ever get onto my projects. They're actually working overtime or at night to get their regular work done because they're, you know, the regular workday is just spent answering questions. And the struggle was they tried documentation in the past. They tried Google Docs and that sort of thing, but that really only gives you a flat way of answering a question. And what they were able to do is take what we call our workflow articles, which are decision trees, and capture the way they think through a problem. So they can say, you know, somebody's calling up and they got to troubleshoot. Let's just take like the printer's not working.
Right.
Well, that expert is going to ask whoever's struggling with the printer, they're going to ask them a series of questions. Okay. Well, did you check the powers on? You know, are you trying to print from your mobile device? Or are you trying to print from your laptop? Whatever those series of questions are, he can build out that flow. So now the employee can just go through as if they were talking to him and they can troubleshoot the problem on their own. And he said it was just life changing because now he's got the bandwidth to really add the value to the business that he's there to add versus just being, you know, the default help desk for everybody who has a question. Second story, this one was further along. So a little larger team.
Right.
And their challenge was very complex situation. They had a contact center. So people are calling in. They've got to answer questions about this. It would take over a year for an employee to get to the point where they could work independently in that role. Before that, they're just kind of taking calls and calling up a supervisor to help them out. They adopted this framework I'm talking about, the Find and Follow framework and the ScreenStep software, and they drove that down from 12 months to less than 60 days. So that's a huge change in the business. Now people can come in and they can be productive in less than 60 days. It reduced the burden on everybody else and freed up a ton of time for the supervisors, provided a better experience for the customers.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And that's really very concrete. So what if you were to put ScreenSteps into a category, what type of software would you say it fits into?
So a lot of people will put it in the knowledge-based category, but we go a little bit outside of that because we also include custom courses that you can build in there and contextual help. So you're bringing in a planner in there. So you're covering more than that. Others will put it in kind of knowledge management. But we look at knowledge management as how do I capture and categorize my information? We really view it as a knowledge operations platform. So how am I operationalizing the knowledge that I have in my business? That meaning that the tool is helping me capture the right information, design it in the right way so people can turn it into action, not just have a vault somewhere where we've got all this information stored, but we can actually have something that drives performance.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, it sounds like your find and follow framework is kind of a foundational, you know, piece of the whole puzzle. Can you go into a little bit more depth? Can you explain how that exactly works and what it's all about?
Yeah. So when we designed this framework, we had a couple of requirements. First, it had to be designed so that it prepared people to deal with change. We saw so many training and onboarding programs that would teach people a bunch of information, assuming that it would never change. We know information is going to change all the time. Second, it had to work with remote employees and in-person employees. So it couldn't be a training methodology that would work only in person or only remotely. And third, it had to be repeatable. So it had to be something that you built this engine, this onboarding and performance engine, and it would work consistently over time. It wasn't just trainer dependent or learner dependent. So when we looked at that, we said, okay, what we've got to do is we got to have a recipe for building this, but also we have to remove the burden of memorization on the new hire or the employee. And what that means is when we're building out the training, our goal is to give them the foundational knowledge they need to perform their job and then have them rely on digital guides for all the actionable knowledge that they need to perform their job. So a training session in find and follow looks very different than your typical training session. It'll be about 20% learning, you know, either from an instructor or a pre-recorded course on foundational knowledge. And that course won't teach any procedural information. It's really just going to focus on the background knowledge the employee needs in that role or for that area. And then 80% of the time, they're going to spend practicing activities, meaning they're going to get scenarios thrown at them, and they're going to use these digital guides to complete those scenarios. So training looks totally different. I'm getting in and doing things right away, and I'm getting confidence using these digital guides. And I'm never under the pressure that I'm going to have to memorize this information. I'm told that these are the same digital guides that I'm going to use when I do my job. So it's like I'm practicing using a GPS versus trying to memorize a massive map of this new area that I've moved to.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. So for companies that are just getting started, so it's not just a matter of, you know, purchase a software solution and you're up and running. It sounds like it's a very consultative type of experience where your team is actually helping the companies get onboarded and get up and running, or how does all of that work?
Well, we have different options depending on what the company wants. So we have a book on the find and follow methodology, and some people will just take that and it has, you know, detailed instructions about how to apply this in your business. And then we have a course that can help people, you know, understand these concepts and apply them in the business. And then we have, you know, onboarding services where we will take them through a workshop and a coaching experience where we're helping them adopt this new way of working and develop what we call a knowledge champion in the business. So this role of this person that's really empowering everyone to work independently and consistently in the organization.
Got it. Okay. And where do you see this methodology the most successful? Do you see smaller companies implementing it, larger companies, mid-sized companies, or do you have companies at all different sizes? Or
we really have companies at all different sizes, but we think of it in terms of teams instead of companies. So it doesn't really matter. You can have a 10,000 person company, but they may have a team internally there that is 30 to 100 to 200 people. And we really focus on the teams in the organization. So how are you going to help that team work independently and be consistent? And so we've used it with companies that are, you know, 10 to 30 people, and we've used it with companies that are, you know, tens of thousands of people.
Okay. And are there keys, like if you were to look, you know, look back over the years at the companies that have been successful versus those that have had challenges either early on or just all along. What would you say are the key factors that distinguish the companies that are successful with the framework versus those that are having challenges?
So almost all the time when a company comes to us, they're just really anxious to start using the tools that we have because, like, you know, the decision trees are kind of cool and we've got some great authoring tools that, and they want to just start creating stuff. The companies that come and do that, they kind of put the cart before the horse and they don't do the right level of planning. And so they'll create a lot of resources, but they haven't created the right resources. And so then they struggle a bit. The ones that go through that whole process of running that find and follow workshop and then really defining what do people need to be able to do and designing those actual guides to meet the need of that employee, they do fantastic. You know, they really, when they, the ones that apply the full framework versus just creating a bunch of documentation have vastly different outcomes.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And so as far as the high level benefits or results of success with the solution, what can companies look forward to achieving?
The main thing is freeing up the bandwidth of your most knowledgeable people. So the people that are having to answer those questions all the time, when they free up that bandwidth, they're some of your most valuable employees, and now they can focus on actually growing the business instead of trying to keep the ship from drowning. The other main benefit is you can onboard people much more quickly and they're going to be confident. So we see new hire attrition rates drop. You know, people stay because the job is much easier. It's much clearer on what they need to do. And people will skill up much more quickly. You'll also see benefits in cross-training. Because we're teaching people to learn a GPS versus memorize a map, once they learn that, we had a group, it would take 30 days to cross-train across different regions in their organization. They dropped that down to less than 1 day using the find and follow methodology. So you've just got a lot more agility, a lot more ability to adapt to change, and a greater ability for employees to work independently without constantly have to turn to the people that have the most knowledge.
So, and that makes a lot of sense. So what do you see as, and I don't even know if you can use the word typical, but what is a typical implementation process for someone getting up and running with ScreenSteps?
I'd really divide it into two camps. So we work with businesses where we have something we call the Knowledge Ops Maturity Model. And it's a way to measure how mature your organization is at transferring knowledge. At the base level of that, we have what's called a tribal organization. So the everything is tribal knowledge. Everything's stuck in people's heads. There's not, or it may be an email, it may be in Slack messages, but it's not really defined. The next level above that, we have what's called a document stage organization where they have created a lot of documentation, but it's not in a format that people can find and follow. So people don't use it. They behave the same way that they do in a tribal organization. When they don't know what to do, they turn to a supervisor. So depending on which stage they're in, and there's stages beyond that, you know, that we help them move to. And so depending on which stage they're in, if they don't have anything, we really help them capture it in the right way. If they're at the document stage, if they're at the document stage, then we're helping them bring in that existing documentation, identify the gaps, and optimize what they really have to make it, to change it into a format that employees can find and follow it. So we can either go net new where they've got nothing, and this is the first time they're really trying to capture things, or they've got a bunch of information, they've done some efforts in the past, but they're not seeing the benefit from them. So we can take that and help them get value out of it.
And what is there usually like a precipitating point that gets a company to the point that they reach out to you for help? Is it typically, you know, some event or something like that has happened? Or is it more they just know that they need to transition from what they're doing now that's not working?
Well, a lot of times it'll be around the precipitating events will be, we're bringing on a bunch of new hires for this role, and we don't have a good plan of how we're going to onboard them quickly. So how we're going to get them proficient quickly. Or it will be that the kind of the leaders of the organization, the supervisors, are at a breaking point. So the company is scaling and they're getting to the point that they realize they just can't keep going the way they are because each new person they hire is more of a burden on the supervisor. And the third will be if they're going to go through a major technology change that's going to impact a lot of their operations and they're worried about how are we going to train our employees so we have as little transition time as we adopt this, you know, CRM, ERP, whatever that is inside of the organization.
So I'm sure that that you've dealt with this a lot, but you know I can tell you have you know many different types of organizations and made up of many individuals within organizations, and I'm sure you have all different kinds of people. Some that will embrace the change, and others that will, you know, resist kicking and screaming. What do you see as the best way to roll something like this out, like to be most effective?
Well, typically we'll get the type of resistance that we'll get will be, this is going to be too much work to do. That's really primary. Like very rarely will somebody come in and say, oh, what we're doing is fine. Like when we're talking to them, they realize something is broken, but they'll say either our information is too complex. So there's no way we could capture it all, or two, we could capture it, but it's going to take too much time. So what we do that really helps kind of get over those concerns is that find and follow workshop. So we'll do a workshop, and sometimes we do this even before somebody becomes a customer. They're helping them do an analysis of, you know, will this work? But in that workshop, they get clarity for the first time of what people have to do in these roles. And then they're able to see, oh, wait a minute, that's not as complex as it's not that it's been complex, it's been unclear. And once we get clarity, it's actually simpler than we thought. And then they don't realize, like, and we talk about this through in the workshop, with the AI tools that we have, with the authoring tools that we have, it's, you know, one group found that it reduced their authoring time by 70%. So the tools that we give them to create and maintain this content is very different than what they've had in the past. So they're able to do it more quickly and maintain it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. As far as, you know, the transfer of knowledge and the whole market from where you sit, what kinds of trends are you seeing? What do you see as to some of the big shifts in the way companies are engaging?
Well, it used to be that what everybody wanted to do was record video. So like, that's how I'm going to like operationalize my business. I'm going to record video of all the different things we do, and I'll have this big video library. And that was a big push for a long time. Now people have discovered the challenges with that. Video is almost impossible to update. And it's terrible for an employee that in the moment they need to perform this task and they can't quite remember how to do it. You know, they have to stop and pause the video and all of that. So people they've kind of made that push, but then I don't see quite as much of that anymore. Now the big push is, hey, we're going to just use AI for everything. And so AI will do a great demo where I can upload a PDF to ChatGPT and then I can ask it questions about it. I can say, you know, what's this? Or I can use an AI tool that's going to take all my documentation and help me search it and answer, you know, ask questions about it. But what businesses are going to find, and they are finding, is that the information they're feeding the AI is incomplete. And so that's where we see that's a big push of what we're doing is building those tools so that businesses can have confidence first that they've got that single source of truth and that it's up to date and accurate. Because then you can use that to feed the AI tools and they can perform really well. But if you don't have an accurate single source of truth, your AI initiatives are going to struggle.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And are there any recent innovations in the space that you're really excited about that you've seen starting to rise to the surface?
Well, I mean, the advent of AI is just, what it's allowing us to do is a lot of the manual stuff that we had to do in onboarding a customer before and helping them apply best practices, we're able to cut off, you know, tons of time in doing that. So before we'd have to take, for example, we would take existing documentation and you'd read it and you're kind of scratching your head. You're like, I have no idea what this says. And now we can use AI to pull out the procedures in a way that's more of that recipe format. and even build in things that will give them recommendations on best practices about how to build this stuff. So while a lot of people are excited about the idea of AI search and how does it give me answers, we're also very excited about how AI is improving the ability to really build out a full find and follow program and do that very quickly.
Yeah, it makes good sense. Now, are there, if I understand correctly, ScreenSteps is a SaaS type solution that's licensed?
Yes.
Okay. And are there any like recent releases or updates that you've had that you're really proud of or excited about?
Well, there's some things that we've been coming out with more AI tools. Like we're working on a search summarizer right now. So you can, like I said, you can dive into the answers of that. Another thing that's a big thing. So we have clients that will manage thousands of documents or digital guides inside of the system. And inevitably with those, they'll be linking out to third-party resources or things, you know, other articles, that sort of thing. And one of the biggest problems with digital guides is things get deleted. So you're linking out to this third-party site and they move the page, or you linked out to this other internal resource and that got removed. And then somebody goes to use the article and all the links are... We worked with one customer, they were on a wiki and they gave us their primary knowledge article, and it had 25 broken links in it and nobody knew it, you know?
Yeah.
And so people can't use that. So what we've recently come out with is a link reporter. So it'll analyze someone's their whole knowledge base, you know, whether it's 10 articles or 10,000 articles, and then tell them, hey, these articles have references that are broken to these outside resources, so they can go in and make sure those things are current. It's a huge time saver for clients.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And for companies that are looking to get up and running on the solution, how is it licensed? Is it more of a per user or per company or other different levels? How would someone know where to get started?
Well, we made a decision that we wanted to be perfectly aligned with the success of our customers. And so we moved years ago to what we call a monthly active user model, meaning you can have as many named users as you want in the system, but your user counts are only counted against people who actually use it. And because we saw a lot of knowledge base systems that you have to pay for all these users and you're paying for all these licenses and nobody's logging in, right? They're not actually using the content. So the way ours works is, say, for example, you're buying 100 users, what you really get is for the year, you get 1200 credits. So if month one, you only have, you know, 70 log in, those extra 30 credits roll over to month two and allows them to scale. So then we're perfectly aligned because we're aligned with their usage of the product is going to drive the subscription.
Makes a lot of sense. So for companies that are looking to get up and running, how would they reach out to you? What would be the best next step?
So I'm Greg DeVore on LinkedIn. They can reach out to me there or greg@screensteps.com. I'm happy to talk with them. Our website is screensteps.com, and you know it's got all the information on the software. If they want to check out the book, it's findandfollowbook.com, or you can find the book Find and Follow on Amazon and get a copy of it there.
Great. No, I really appreciate it. And we'll leave a link in the article along with the video. And I really appreciate your taking the time out to join us on Software Spotlight today. I think that was really a unique dive and a different focus on knowledge transfer that we haven't had in the past.
Well, thank you. It's great. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you. And coming up on our next episode of Software Spotlight, we have Brad Dickinson. He's the co-founder and CEO of Social Horsepower, a SaaS platform powering advocacy and executive thought leadership programs. With over 15 years of marketing experience, Brad is passionate about helping companies amplify their brand and drive business results through authentic voices of their employees and leaders. So be sure to tune in for that tomorrow afternoon and visit our website, softwareoasis.com, to sign up for our free weekly software newsletter and to register for our weekly webinars. The next one is coming up this Wednesday at 1 o'clock Eastern, and that is on teaching students the skills to succeed.